So, welcome to the first meeting of quarter three gathering. So, the theme for this quarter is called Ingredients of an Overcoming Life. Okay. And the word overcome comes from several places in the Bible. But one of the most famous verses is in 1 John 2:13. And it says, John says, "I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one."
Here, I could. I'll put this on.
Okay.
The, right? And so, and you've also find this word overcome in Revelations 2. If you guys have read the letters to the seven churches, it says, to the one who overcomes or to the one who conquers, right? So it has this meaning of prevailing or triumphing, being victorious. And we're going to be talking about ingredients that allow us to overcome through Christ. We're not overcoming on our own, but we're overcoming through Christ. Now, and the overcoming is from our perspective, from God's perspective, you could say that He is actually saving us. He is actually bringing salvation to our situation. So those two things are kind of the same thing. From one perspective, it's like we're saying we overcame something. But from another perspective, we could also say God helped us. God sent His salvation. He sent help from Zion. He sent help from the sanctuary. Okay?
Amen.
So, we're going to start with Daniel 6, all right? And let me read that for us, okay? So, Daniel 6, this is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. I'm going to be reading from the ESV. It says, "It pleased Darius." Okay, so before I start, there's three groups of people I want you to be mindful of in this passage. Number one is Daniel, obviously. The second is this guy named Darius. He's the king. All right. And the third are the high officials and the satraps. They're basically the governors of the kingdom, and they're jealous of Daniel. And so let's see what happens. So it says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and satraps sought to find the ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could not find any ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God.'" Verse 6. Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. Okay, note that verse because we're going to spend a lot of time on that verse, verse 10. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing stands fast according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Okay, so basically these guys tricked King Darius into making a law. He didn't know that this law was going to apply to Daniel. Verse 13, then they answered and said before the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Verse 14, then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him.
Wow.
Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. So once he made his decision, it's done. Verse 16, then the king commanded and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. And the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fed from him. Verse 19, then at the break of day, the king rose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, but because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. And the king was exceedingly glad and commended that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them, broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Amen. What a great story.
Amen.
Yeah. And so I'm gonna ask a question, and that is, what did Daniel overcome in this chapter? Okay? And I'm sure if we look deeper, we could find a ton of things, but I want to just mention five things that he overcame. So number one, he overcame the pressure to compromise. Okay? And so I remember the satraps, they set up a trap for him so that if he continued to pray to God three times a day and make petition, right, instead of to the king, he would be thrown to the den of lions. So he knew that, right? The story makes it clear that Daniel knew that this was going to happen. And so there was tremendous pressure he must have felt to compromise, but he overcame that, number one. Number two, he overcame the temptation to become really angry at these satraps and become entangled in a battle with them. Maybe a political battle, right? Maybe a legal fat battle. Try to stop them from carrying this out. But he seemed, it seems like he didn't get entangled there. Okay, so he overcame that. Number three, he overcame the potential deep disappointment and resentment toward the King Darius. He could have been like, King Darius, how could you have been so foolish to allow this, right? To, how could you be so gullible and sign this injunction, okay? Number four, he overcame despair and hopelessness. So once he found out that he's going to be thrown into the den of lions, right? Most people don't come out of that alive. He experienced a singular miracle, right? Christians in the Roman Empire days, they were thrown into the den of lions. They were not saved, okay? And so there was no guarantee Daniel was going to be saved. You know, and once in a while, right, we hear this tragic news of people getting mauled at the zoo by lions and tigers, right? They're not, these are not little animals. These are super powerful animals. And it says that they overpowered the people and tore them into pieces, broke their bones. And so he could have been in deep despair and discouragement and hopelessness. And finally, the fifth thing that I wrote down is that he overcame panic, right? He could have panicked, fled the country. Who knows what he could have done? But it's almost like he just stayed very, very calm. And so the question that I want to ask to kind of open up the word is, how did Daniel manage to overcome these? Okay. How did he overcome pressure from the external world to compromise? How did he overcome bitterness, resentment, anger, entanglement? Okay. And for that, I want to turn to verse 10. Okay. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time. It says in verse 10, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. I love that description. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. And I want to bring out two things here. The first thing, the first ingredient that Daniel had that allowed him to overcome is that he had what I call a highway to Zion in his heart. Okay. And that verse comes from Psalm 84, verse 5, where it says, blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. Okay. Daniel had a highway to Zion in his heart. Okay. And what do I mean by a highway, right? A highway is, it's a road between point A and point B, right? It allows you to get from point A to point B really quickly. That's why there's a highway. Okay. And so the highway in Daniel's heart was a way that his heart was formed. There was a formation in his heart that caused Daniel to turn to God first. So the first thing that he would turn to in the day of trouble would be toward Jerusalem, toward Zion, toward the presence of God. That's what a highway to Zion is. Okay? A highway to Zion is a formation of the heart that causes that person to turn to God as the first instinct, as the first reaction. Okay? And I want to emphasize that that's the first thing he does. Okay? He doesn't, at least that's what the scripture tells us, right? It says, when he knew that it had been signed, he went to his house. where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. Okay? And you see, the way that we, as human beings, right, we are affected by what happens externally. So external events and external circumstances, they trigger internal responses in us. Okay? All of us are human. All of us react in some way. And the question is, in the day of trouble, what will be our response? What is our response to the day of trouble? Okay? And for Daniel, the day of trouble, he did what he normally did. He just turned to God. Okay? And in some ways, turning to God is the most natural thing, right? But in some ways, it's the most unnatural thing. Okay? And it's the most unnatural thing because we are, you know, we are sons of Adam. We are sons of someone who fell, right, in Genesis 3. And because we have a sinful nature and because of our flesh, turning to God actually is not necessarily our first natural reaction. Our first natural reaction is what I call a flesh reaction, okay? And what I mean by a flesh reaction is that it's a reaction that is made to an external event or internal trigger without first bringing it before God. That's a flesh reaction, okay? It doesn't have to be sinful. It can be seemingly a good thing, but if it's not brought before God first, it's a flesh reaction, okay? And we are born with that instinct. We are born with that nature, okay? And so Daniel could have easily reacted in different ways. He was a person of power, a person of wisdom, person who had a lot of resources, right? But what did he do? He turned to God first because he had a highway to Zion in his heart, okay? Now here's, how do you then go about building a highway in your heart to Zion, to God, okay? And I actually taught on this a few years ago. How do you build a highway? Well, you build a highway 1 inch at a time, 1 foot at a time. You build it by putting down 1 brick at a time, okay? So you put down 1 inch of brick, another inch of brick or concrete, whatever the analogy you want, right? Until it keeps growing and building, all right? You can't build a highway all at once. A highway is one of those things that takes a lot of time to build. Once you build it, it's there. Okay, it's solid. Okay, but you can only build it 1 brick at a time. I hope that's an encouraging thing, that you can build a highway and that the way you build it is 1 brick at a time. I hope that that's not a discouraging thing, but to me, that's encouraging to me. Okay, and here's the good news, is if you're a Christian, your heart was made for this. Your heart was made and redeemed by Christ, okay? He died on the cross. He died for you so that your heart would be formed to have a highway to Zion, okay? Instead of a highway to sin or a highway to compromise or a highway to anger or a highway to bitterness, highway to resentment, highway to hopelessness, right? Instead of all of that, it was meant to be a highway to Zion, right? So God never intended for our lives to be free of trouble, okay? But he intended that in the day of trouble, we would turn to him first, right? And in order to do that, what we want to do is be people who are building, intentionally building a highway to Zion in our heart, okay? And I want to say that if you, as you think about yourself and think about your heart and what your heart turns to, I want to encourage you that God is at work in your life so that a highway is built up in your heart. Okay. I want to talk about two kinds of bricks that you may want to, that are part of this highway. Okay, some foundation of this highway. And I felt led to talk about this because in verse 10, it says, Daniel went to his house and he got down on his knees three times a day. So I want to talk about your house as well as your time. Okay? Basic things, but actually very, very important because I'm guessing if you're like me, most of you're spending most of your time at home. I know some of us maybe are in what the government considers essential business, and maybe you're working outside, but I think 90% of us, maybe all of us, are probably in our home or in our house most of the time, okay? So I want to ask this question is, how is your house set up? Or how is your room set up? Okay? So Daniel, he had this nice house, and he says he had an upper chamber with windows open towards Jerusalem. So whenever he went to this room, it made him probably want to seek the Lord, right? He didn't have TV there. He didn't have distractions there. But he set this room up to seek the Lord, right? And so how is our room or how is your house set up right now? Okay? Have you intentionally set up your house or your room, your furniture, whatever you have, so that it facilitates first seeking God? Okay? Or is it set up to distract you? Okay? Or maybe it's not a sin, or maybe it is a sin, right? But it facilitates something besides seeking God first. Okay? So in our house, like Amanda and I, we have different places where we pray in the morning. So I like to get up early in the morning at 6. And so I go to the kitchen, and then Amanda takes the armchair in our bedroom. Okay? And sometimes at night on the armchair, I might be reading an interesting book. Okay? And I'll leave it next to the armchair. And what will happen sometimes is that Amanda, in the morning, she'll have her quiet time and she'll see this book and she'll be like, oh, that's interesting. And then she'll start reading it. And then the next thing she knows, she's like, spent a ton of time reading it and then her quiet time's over, right? It doesn't happen all the time. I'm just using it as a story, but that happens, right? And so what I like to do is, before I go to sleep, the kitchen table, okay, the kitchen table is where I prayed for 19 years, guys. I've lived in my house 19 years, and I go there every morning. And what I do is I put my Bible there, I put my journal there, I put a couple of pens there. So when I wake up, make my cup of tea or coffee, right? Sit down, voila, my Bible is there, okay? I don't put my phone there. I don't put magazines or other books, okay? Whatever might take us away from seeking God first, Thai is different for each one of us, okay? And so this is going to be a discussion question for you when we break up into small groups is what do I need to put in my room or my house, okay? And the second question is, what do I need to remove? What things do I need to put in my room or my house? And what things do I need to remove from my room or my house, okay? So that it facilitates us turning to God first in that room, okay? Because we shoot ourselves in the foot if our house or our room is set up to take away, take us away from God. There's a lot of things in the world that can take us away. They're not sinful, they're not bad, but what we want to do is we want to build a highway to Zion in our heart. Okay? In order to do that, we may have to rearrange our house. All right? So that's the first thing. The second thing is regarding time, is how is your time set up? Okay, and so we see here Daniel, he got down on his knees 3 times a day as he had done previously. Okay. Daniel was disciplined with his time. Okay, and he set it up in such a way that he could seek God 3 times a day. I'm not saying we need to do 3 times a day. Okay. But what we want to do is we want to set up our time so that it we have time to seek the Lord. Right? And it might be an underused muscle that you have. And this muscle is the muscle of discipline and self-control, right? 2 Timothy 1:6 says, God has given us a spirit of love, of power, and of self-control, okay? And oftentimes we don't exercise the discipline and the self-control with our time, okay? And so you have to ask the question, during this time that we are at home, right? And in this past Sunday, Michael talked about, we may actually have a year more like this. Who knows, right? Because the first vaccine, we're hoping, comes out early 2021, okay? So we're gonna have this on, off, dimmer switch for the next 6 months, right? But during this time, how are we exercising discipline and self-control with our time, okay? So does time conspire against us, or are we imposing our discipline and self-control on the time, okay? And for some of us, we're good with this, right? But some of us might be like, you know what? I need to work on this because it can seem like such a simplistic thing, but it makes a huge difference, okay? And so for the past 10 years, 20 years, I can't remember. I just wake up at 6 a.m, okay? Because my work is such that I start around 7:30, some mornings, 8 o'clock, sometimes I have till 9, sometimes till 9:30. But 6 o'clock is a good time for me, okay? Because that allows me to get up, get ready, have time to pray before I rush into work, okay? And so what I do then is I just work backwards. I say, I'm a guy who needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep. So that means I need to go to sleep by 10 or 11 p.m., okay? And then I keep working backwards. And so the secret to really having a consistent time in the morning for me is what I do the night before, right? So in some ways, you can say I live a boring life. I don't stay up till midnight partying, right? But for me, that's worth it because that's what I'm investing in. To me, that's this having this highway to Zion in my heart is probably the most important thing, right? Because then that changes everything in my life. So I do that. My kids, as they're growing up, they're teenagers now, they really don't like that. They think, you know, they love staying, you know, one of my kids loves staying up and doing stuff. And, you know, that kid can sleep until 9 or 10. I don't have that luxury. I can't do that, right? So I practice a certain discipline with my time. And so a question that I have for you guys to be thinking about, and you can perhaps discuss in small group, is in what ways do I need to exercise discipline or self-control with my time? Okay? So your house, your room, and your time. If we get these right, then we have a good foundation. It we have a winning chance at slowly building this highway to Zion. If we don't do that, our room, our house, our time is going to conspire against us, actually. All right? There's one more thing I want to share real quick, and that is found in verse 10 also. It says when. It starts with when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, that's when he went, okay? And I want us to have a category for turning to God when the bottom drops out, okay? When all hell breaks loose, when we are actually defeated, okay? When we have no hope, when our heart is flooded with disappointment, or when we don't feel like seeking God, okay? Or when we are so angry about a situation or a person or about ourselves, right? It's at that moment, right? The flesh reaction would take us away from God, okay? And so the flesh reaction might tell us, let me fix this on my own first, okay? Or let me try to handle this on my own first, okay? I want us to have a category for relating to God in when the bottom drops out, in the places of defeat, okay? So not, quote unquote, when we've been good spiritually, but maybe when we've been bad spiritually, right? Not just bringing our presentable parts of our lives, but bringing our unpresentable parts, okay? I want us to have a category for not only bringing the important things to God, but the seemingly unimportant things. My point is, we want to have a category for bringing everything to God all the time, okay? And this is very important because otherwise we're going to have a partitioned life, okay, where we have like spiritual things and then that involve God and quote unquote natural things that we do on our own apart from God, okay? And that's actually not biblical, okay? Everything is spiritual. Everything is natural. Everything is spiritually natural. Everything is naturally spiritual. We want our whole lives integrated, right? And we want to be able to bring everything to God, okay? I'll give you guys just a quick example from my life, and then we'll break up, okay? And so this is something that I've been learning the past 3 to 4 months, okay? And so some of you guys know this, but I work as a software development manager. Okay, so I have a decent amount of responsibility at work, and I have a family. I have 2 teenagers, so I have a lot going on at home, and I'm also the chairman of the board at VCF at our church, and so there's a lot of things behind the scenes that happen. Okay, and so at any given time, I always have something that I'm dealing with. Okay, I never have nothing to do. I always have something that requires my attention. Okay, and so I have my journal. Okay, I keep a journal, and that's where I do my quiet time, and I put my thoughts, my meditations, my prayers in my journal, and then I have my planner, right? And my planner is where I put down, this is what I got to do. These are decisions I have to make. These are meetings that are coming up. I have to plan, right? And so I have my journal, and I have my planner, and I would wake up, pray, live in my journal, and then I've got these tasks. And then once I open my task planner, that takes over. And there's a certain anxiety or stress that comes with these tasks and these things that I have to get done. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I found myself like And then I found myself trying to just get these tasks done as soon as possible, being as productive and efficient as possible. Okay. And then I realized, at some point, I realized this cannot be what God has for me, right? It cannot be that God has for me to enjoy this time in his presence. And then afterwards, my life is spent doing these tasks and making decisions and getting things done on my own, okay? And so God spoke to me and said, Jihong, you cannot live like this. I want you, and so he spoke to me out of Proverbs 16, says, commit your work to the Lord and he will establish your plans. He will establish your thoughts. I said, oh, I need to commit the work that I have in my planner to the Lord, right? Because my previous paradigm was, okay, God's given me this responsibility. Now I just got to get it done, right? And I was realizing that the more that happened, the less of God's goodness I knew. So I changed the whole way I operate. So I had to start committing my work to the Lord. And I'm like, do I really have to do that? But I learned little by little. I began to commit my work to the Lord. So if I have thing number one to do, thing number two to do, thing number three to do, I would pray about it and commit it to God. I would actually start praying intentionally about those things. So it could be as simple as, God, help me to get this done. Help us to, you know, so at first it started very primitive, right? Because I had to learn from the ground up. And little by little, I've been doing that. And what I've been experiencing the past 3-4 months is just a peace that I didn't know before that I could have, even in the midst of lots of things that are not settled, okay? Things that could go horribly wrong. In the midst of that, because I've committed it to the Lord, he's establishing the plans and my thoughts, okay? And so one question that I have for you guys is this, is there something that perhaps the Lord is inviting me to open up to him, right? And I love this, the way the verse 10 is described. It says, Daniel had an upper chamber with open windows toward Jerusalem. What we want is we want that to be a picture of our heart, okay? We want our heart to have open windows toward God. And I'm not talking about just the presentable parts of our heart. I'm talking about the ugly parts of our heart, right? The stressed parts of our hearts, the anxious parts of our hearts, okay? We have to learn little by little to open it up, okay? And the only way I know how to open it up is we start. At least for me, I have a journal. I write it down in my journal. I say, God, I give you this. I open this part of my life to you. Can you come and meet me? Okay? And each one of us has to learn how to do that. I don't know what that looks like for you. Okay? But what is an area that where God is calling us to open the windows of our heart to him? Okay? So I want us to have a category that we can bring anything and everything, even the most pitiful things, you know, maybe seemingly unimportant things. And I shared this 6 months ago, but remember, I had been struggling to find a doctor, right? And I had it on my planner, find a doctor, okay? And that was stressing me out because I was like, how do I find a doctor? And then
Google.
And then God said, why don't you pray about it? So I prayed. God, help me to find a doctor. And then I went on the website and found three names. God, help me to find a doctor. I called one guy and I liked him. And then, you know, it's been a lifesaver because I haven't shared this with a lot of people, but I have a bad shoulder injury. I can't lift my right arm. I don't know if you can see it. My left arm I can raise, my right arm I can't, okay? And so I heard it right before the stay-at-home order. This is before March 15th. And around June, I'm like, something is really wrong with my shoulder, you know? And I prayed about it, and he said, just call your doctor. Oh, okay. So I called my doctor, and he didn't even charge me a copay. He diagnosed it, okay? And then I was really excited, you know? So I started doing some exercises, and then I was running one day, and I fell. I tripped over a sprinkler, and guess where I fell? On my shoulder. The full weight of my body fell on my shoulder because I couldn't raise my arm to brace myself. I heard it even worse, and I couldn't. Anyways, I called the doctor again, and he gave me another diagnosis, and he gave me more exercises to do. It wasn't improving, so then I got a referral to a physical therapist, right? But guys, if I hadn't opened this part of my life up to God, I would be without a doctor right now, and I'd be trying to figure out my shoulder problem on my own in the dark. But thank God God moved me to open that part of my life up to Him. He led me in a very simple way, okay? And now I'm gonna go see the physical therapist next Tuesday. So for that, I'm thankful. So with that, I'm gonna stop, guys. And I think Daniel, I'll hand it off to Daniel.